Our first scripture lesson today is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 12 through chapter 4, verse 2. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Since then, we have such a hope. We act with great boldness, not like Moses who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Lord of the Spirit is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, beginning at verse 28. It begins now about 8 days after. Just to give it a little context, this would probably be about 8 days after the sections in Luke that we had looked at in the previous 2 weeks. The sections that we call the Sermon on the Plain, the place where Jesus teaches his disciples and the people with them the Beatitudes and the Woeitudes. He blesses and woes, and then teaches them about how to love one another, even our enemies. And this says, now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of these things they had seen. And on the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." And suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions, but Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us, thanks be to God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your pastor speaking. Our radar indicates some turbulence ahead. Please remain in your seats and fasten your seat belts. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. It is the bridge between the light of Epiphany and the shadows of Lent. And normally, I would be talking about the shining glory of God as reflected in our liturgy and our music, and we would find mountaintop comfort in climactic, epiphanic glow of the light of Christ before descending into the shadows of Lent. However, those shadows, that cloud, has already come to the mountaintop and has already engulfed us in global currents of war. So I begin this morning with a poem by Anne Weems. On the edge of war, 1 foot already in, I no longer pray for peace. I pray for miracles. I pray that stone hearts will turn to tender heartedness and evil intentions will turn to mercifulness. And all the soldiers already deployed will be snatched out of harm's way, and the whole world will be astounded unto its knees. I pray that all the God talk will take bones and stand up and shed its cloak of faithlessness and walk again in its powerful truth. I pray that the whole world might sit down together and share its bread and its wine. Some say there's no hope, but then I've always applauded the holy fools who never seem to give up on the scandalousness of our faith, that we are loved by God, that we can truly love one another. I no longer pray for peace. I pray for miracles. As we sit in the comfort of this sanctuary, as those online sit in the comfort of their own surroundings, a brutal invasion of a sovereign democratic country by a ruthless authoritarian ruler takes place. Peoples whose homes, streets, businesses, towns and cities were just a week ago as seemingly peaceful and safe as ours are now. These people are literally fighting and dying in streets strewn with burned vehicles and rubble from bombed buildings that only days ago were their homes and their livelihoods. and some dare to ask, why are we so concerned with a war in Ukraine? And we may say, as does a popular meme on the internet, well, it's because of Ukraine's location and Ukraine's vast resources. And on the surface, this is true. However, and more importantly, below that facade are millions of lives. People, just like us, fleeing their homes for safety, huddling in subway tunnels, and defiantly protecting their human dignity. And even deeper beneath that grim reality is fear. Fear that our own lifestyles, our own livelihoods, our own families, our own homes, our own humanity are just as tenuous. And some so-called leaders and people openly or secretly admire and support the lawless invasion of peaceful people by a ruthless regime led by a soulless dictator. Why? If we're honest with ourselves, we, like Moses, take off our veils to see the reflection of truth. We face the increasing erosion of human dignity in our own country, where laws are being considered and passed that oppress voting rights, restrict freedom of speech and expression, deny the humanity of people according to race, ethnicity, gender, and sexual orientation, and forbid the expression and study of truth in history. And it is into this quagmire of vested interest and violence that comes the clarion call of transfiguration. Not transfiguration is some kind of magical event that sweeps away our fears. Not transfiguration that hides our culpability in past disfigurations of humanity. Not transfiguration that seeks sanctuary on the mountaintops. But transfiguration that calls us into the valley of the shadows of death to be exorcist of evil in the world, while acknowledging our own inept faithlessness and perverseness. No, our transfiguration is not one hidden behind the veil, but transfiguration that rips off veils of pride, self-righteousness, and lies. So that in Paul's words, let us hear again, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. And therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. we have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. We renounce the shameful things once hidden. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. We live by the open statement of truth as we commend ourselves to the world. I opened with a poem by Ann Weems. And let us hear another. There is but one whose name is peace, one whose heart is peace, whose soul is peace, whose mind is peace, and the world knew him not. And so they killed him because they didn't want to share their bread and their wine. Today the world is covered in blood, but still the Prince of Peace calls to us, "Follow me." There is but one whose name is peace. Those who believe in the midst of violence, in the midst of torture, in the midst of war, have no choice but to shout from the rooftops, "Peace on earth." I believe in peace on earth. Ladies and gentlemen, world and national events indicate some turbulent transfiguration ahead. Please unfasten your seat belts. Get out of your seats. Take off your veils. And the light of peace will lead the way. Amen. Just a reminder that we do have our annual congregational meeting following the worship service. We will try to get that started about 11:45, so there will be a brief break before we have that meeting. And we invite you to stay for this meeting. Dawn already alluded in her time with the children to the voice that was in the cloud on that mountain. And it was a very simple, direct voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." But the strange thing about this story, as we read the rest of it, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus didn't say a word. He simply goes right into the valley. And the first thing he does is he encounters a young boy possessed by evil. Listen to Jesus, not only the words, but the actions. Follow Jesus. This is where we're called to, my friends, to come off the mountain, to take off our veils, and to walk in the light of Christ into the darkest places of our own lives and the world around us. Amen.